Well, good evening. Glad to be with you all. I've been studying the book of Revelation. I wanted to share a few thoughts that have been a real challenge to me in my life, and I hope it will challenge us also. I'd like to start off in the book of Daniel, though, in the 7th chapter and the 15th verse. Now, I want to say just a little bit, there's a lot of things about Revelation that I don't know, don't understand. There's a lot of details in there. But I feel like I got a hold of the main overriding theme. Daniel, it was revealed to Daniel the world kingdoms that would come to power and the kingdom that would be ruling at the time that Christ, the Son of God, entered into the world. And the Lord gave him two different visions that are bringing out that truth, that thought. Through the book of Daniel, there's two different visions, but they're both bringing out the four kingdoms that would come. And that's the way Revelation is. Revelation, I know there's a lot more in it, but it has two main visions that go through the book of Revelation that are covering some of the same ground, the same territory. It's different aspects, but it's the same thing. And I go back to the point that when God gave Joseph the two different dreams, it was to confirm it and to establish it, that this was what was going to happen. And I believe that's what is happening here in Daniel and also in the book of Revelation. But in the 15th verse, it said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So that's what he's telling them. These are four kingdoms. These are world empires. These are kingdoms that ruled the world for the most part. Then he said in verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Now I want to note that verse there, because it's mentioned again in Revelation, a mouth that spake very great things. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. I want to mention this time of times because it's also mentioned in the book of Revelation. And you remember Daniel, when he told the king his dream, he said seven times would pass over him. So seven times we know represent 7 years, because King Nebuchadnezzar was like a wild beast for 7 years. He said till seven times pass over him. This says a time and times. Times plural is two. If it's any more than two, it'll say like three times or four times. But the times is two, so this is saying 3 years. And the dividing of time is a half a year. So it's 3.5 years. This is very, it's mentioned over and over in the book of Revelations. 3.5 years, 36, plus six more for a half is 42 months. And when you take a prophetic time, a day for a year equals 1,260 years. So it said he was going to, they shall be given in his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So it's going to be 1,260 years, this period. Okay, now I want to go to Revelations, the 12th chapter. And before we go there, I want to get, I don't know if you have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible with you tonight, but I'm going to read out of that. It's under the heading of Rome. In my Bible, it's page 1785. But I want to read a little bit about this real quick. It mentions that the time of the Roman Empire, Rome had 4,100,000 inhabitants. So it was a very large city, a great city. And I want to go down now. It says, then came the conflict between the young church and the ancient Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the most famous and far-flung empire of Christ's day. The marked characteristic of the empire was tolerance. And the most notable characteristic of the church was its benevolence. Thus, seemingly, the two would have gotten on well together, but they could not, because the Christians swore allegiance to Christ as Lord of their lives. Everything else was expected to be subservient to Him, and the Romans did not like this. The church had high standards for human conduct and called for conformity to these standards. They said, if you expect to be saved, you must conform to Christ's way of life. And many of the people resented this. The church condemned the world and sought to save it. They soon found that the world was no friend of grace to help them on to God. For from the world there came contempt and aversion, followed by persecution. The Christians were charged with being the most unsocial of all people. They came to be considered queer and to be hated and counted as enemies of society. Because they were simple and modest in their dress, they were strictly moral in their conduct, and they would not go to the games and feasts, but condemned the people for their popular forms of amusement and pleasure. They condemned those who sold fodder for the animals to be sacrificed to pagan gods. Therefore, the public came to dread them, for the people feared the wrath of the gods when they did not sacrifice to them. If crops failed, if the Tiber River overflowed, if plagues came, the cry was, the Christians to the lions. Yet the Christians were kind to all who were in trouble. They stayed and nursed the sick during the plague when others fled and lived highly moral lives. In order to test all men's loyalty, the Roman government required that everyone appear at certain public places and there burn a pinch of incense to the emperor. This the Christians considered emperor worship. They would worship Christ alone as their king. Government authorities began to seek them out and punish them by death. As a protective measure, the Christians donned a cloak of secrecy. They sought refuge in the secret recesses of the underground tunnels of the sand pits. They took their shovels and picks and hoes and extended the tunnels or fashioned rooms, chapels, and burying places. The catacombs soon became the only safe retreat for all Christians. I wanted to mention another thing about the catacombs. It said there are about 6 million persons buried in about 60 catacombs. And they said if you would take all the tunnels that were in the catacombs and you put them end for end, it would equal over 500 miles that was underground where the saints hid and worshiped. This was the Roman, pagan Rome. And now let's go to Revelation in the 12th chapter, and we'll read this very thing in prophecy in the scripture. Romans 12 chapter, in the first verse, it said, "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." Now we heard about the ten heads already back in the book of Daniel, but that was the Roman Empire. There was the Babylonians, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire was the last empire, the fourth kingdom of the book of Daniel that was in place when Christ came into the world. And it said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." But this dragon is pagan Rome persecuting the woman is the church, and she's bringing forth that represents the converts that the early Christian church had. There was, on the day of Pentecost, we know there was 4,000. 5,000, you know, converts at one time, and then the dragon power appears to devour this man child. In verse 4 it said, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." That represents the martyrs. We can read later in this chapter where it talks about they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We've read in history the many people that lost their lives because of their faith. Verse 6 it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." Here's the 1260 again. 1260 years the church was in the wilderness, and the dragon was there to consume, and they persecuted the people of God. I want to go verse 14 of this chapter. It said, "And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time." That's the same that we had there in Daniel. "From the face of the serpent." And we know in history, I remember reading without any Bible knowledge, I just remember them talking about the Dark Ages. But we know that there were people of God that were hid from public view because of the persecution and things that were, they were, so the church was in the wilderness for that long. It said, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I want to get, I'd like to go on now to chapter 13. So the dragon represents pagan Rome, Rome in its pagan form. And the thing about Rome was they worshiped many different gods. They worshiped all kinds of gods. They did, and the persecution came because the Christians wouldn't do that. They believed that Christ alone was Lord, and they wouldn't even burn a pinch of incense to the Roman emperors because they felt like that was giving worship to a man instead of to God. That is what brought on the persecution. And I tell you this, that's what many times today, when you begin to renounce the false gods of this world, many times that brings a backlash to us also. A lot of times people don't mind you mentioning Jesus or Christ. Some people do. But when you begin to talk about the false gods, then people get a little, they get a little offended, a little hurt. Now I want to look at chapter 13. It said, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Now this sounds just like the previous beast. Seven heads, ten horns. It's very, very similar. And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. So, pagan Rome, what came up out of pagan Rome was papal Rome, Roman Catholicism. The dragon gave him his seat, his power, his authority. Rome was a world power. They controlled the world. You read in history, they controlled all nations. They were the world power. But the dragon gave his power to papal Rome, which was Roman Catholicism. And I want to look at verse 4. It says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now they worshiped the dragon, and they worshiped the beast. So these were very similar in spirit. We know that pagan Rome was filled with idolatry. They worshiped many gods, but so did Catholic Rome. So did papal Rome. They had many images they would bow down to. They would burn incense to images and pictures and all those types of things. And so it was in spirit, it was the same, just the name's different. When you read in F.G. Smith's book, a lot of the Roman pagan temples became Roman Catholic temples. They just changed the name, but some of the same statues, they bowed to the same statues, they bowed to the same things, they just had different names. But it was still the same thing. Now, this again is a world, and I believe the Revelation is teaching us that this is a world influence that has confronted the church, has confronted the true people of God. He mentioned here, he said, in verse 5 it said, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And that's the same thing. 42 months is 1260 years. that's been the theme through the time period that's identified all these things, that it's talking about the same thing. The Dark Ages that was under Catholicism lasted 1260 years. But it said that he spoke blasphemies. In verse 6 it said, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. I want to get another verse real quick in Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. It mentions in verse 3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We know how the papal Rome developed into the papacy and the pope. And the early morning church, all the ministers were on one level. They were all brothers. But as time passed on, they started a hierarchy. They started separating the bishops. Even though the scriptures are the same thing, they began to make distinction. And pretty soon they ended up with bishops that would rule over certain areas. And then they ended up with the pope. Now, the pope claimed to have power to forgive sins. He claimed to have power to pray people out of purgatory. You remember when Jesus said that he forgave sins, what'd they say? What'd they accuse him of? Blasphemy. And it would have been true, but he was the Son of God. It would have been true, but it wasn't, because he was the Son of God and he had that power. The Pope doesn't have that power. He can't forgive sins. And that's what he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. I don't believe this is referring to a spiritual sense. I believe it's referring to a temporal. They had power. The church was going into the wilderness. They took their jobs. They persecuted them. They made public ridicule. I believe Christ brought a gospel that could give us spiritual victory in any circumstances or any situation. But in a temporal sense, they were overcome. They were not dominating as the early church did. And it says in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, those that really didn't have a relationship with God, an experience of forgiveness where their life was changed. This was a world, the Roman Catholic Church was the world power. That was what everybody did. That's what people were following. That's, you know, there's things that kind of come and go in society that dominate people's minds. And this is what dominated people's minds and what they were giving themselves to. Except his true children. Except those that really loved God and they had been forgiven and found life. That's what this says here. All whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation. They worshiped the beast. They worshiped the dragon. It was vice versa. Now I want to drop down to verse 11. It says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. Now here's another beast. And he causes, when people worship him, in essence, they're actually worshiping the first beast. So there's a strong connection here. So it's like you can worship any one of them and you're worshiping all three of them. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now this third beast we recognize is Protestantism. There's a date, I'm sorry I didn't write the dates down, but we know about in the 1500s, the mid-1500s, is when Martin Luther, and there were others at that time, Zwingli, but they got a message, the just shall live by faith. It said the two horns represent really two nations that were the biggest supporters of Protestantism, and that was England and Germany. They were the biggest supporters of Protestantism. But we find that God, and this is kind of hard to divide because it looks so good, but it said he caused fire to come down in the sight of men that deceive people. I believe God blessed in a way, and I believe people were saved as long as they followed God with all their heart and they were led by the Spirit. But if they began to, many of them began to make another image to the beast. Many of them would drag some of the same teachings and things that they had had under the previous beast. They would bring that into their worship also. And so in a sense, they were worshiping the beast that was right before them. There's another place where it talked about the two witnesses that laid dead in the streets. And that's the two agents, the Word and the Spirit of God. And it said the people rejoiced. That's how God rules the church. That's how God works in his body, is through the Word and the Spirit. When that's usurped, when people stifle that, when they quench that, and they crush that down, then it just becomes another form of, it gives the devil room to work. And it's very critical. I feel like Holy Spirit leadership is very vital for us to recognize and to try to strive and hold on to. We don't have anything without the Spirit of God and without God's Word. And that's how the Lord controls and rules through His body. He also mentioned that another part of Revelation that talked about the dragon being loosed, and it mentioned that three unclean spirits came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And they encamped the camp of the saints. They encompassed the camp of the saints. The dragon was loosed, which is paganism, out of his pit. And then the beast, which was Catholicism. And then the false prophet is the same as this beast, which is Protestantism. It's Protestantism. This is the challenging part to me, because there are a lot of things that become gods to different people. It's not that I bow my knees you know, to an idol or a bow, you know, before the statue or something like that. But something can become a god to me when I begin to lean upon that for my happiness. I begin to trust in that for my fulfillment in life. And Christ is not that soul embodiment, that soul person that we're looking to for our satisfaction, our fulfillment. There's a scripture that talked about setting your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. You know, the enemy is, he tempted Christ. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. He is endeavoring to deflect our affections back to himself. When we worship this world, when we worship the gods, the false gods that are in this world, you know, that's a form of giving affections back to Satan. You know, Protestantism has accepted many of the gods of this world. Has accepted, they don't think twice about it. But it's well for us to begin to identify what are the gods, what are the things that people are trusting in, that are they're looking to, that the masses are going for. You know, there's one scripture said, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. You know, we need to question and be watchful that our affections don't go out to the things that this world has to offer. Because the Lord is looking for a... He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a pure church, a pure bride. And Lord, help us to be in a place when He comes back that He is our all in all. That He is number one in my life. That there's nothing else contending for that place in my life, but it's just Christ. I believe that's the kind of person in life that He's coming back for. And when I see these things and recognize these things, I that was the 1500s, and I can share a few more verses, but I'm persuaded we're getting close to the end of time. And I don't know about you, but I feel a lot of times pressure. I feel, you know, it's like, you know, when you just don't go with everything and everyone, it's like you're an oddball. It's like they said back there about the Christians, that you're queer, you're off. What's wrong with that? I don't see no harm in that. There are a lot of things that have become gods in our modern world. I read a comment the other day. It said nationalism has become a dominant form of religion in the modern world. Nationalism. It's where you put your you put your country too high. You give your country too big of a place. Lord, help us today to be watchful. Help us to be careful. And you, when you see that these things, these are the only powers that I see. And it talked about the dragon being loose for a little season and the camp of the saints being encompassed. Folks, this is getting down to the end. It really is. We're getting close. And we can't put a date or a time, and I don't believe God wants us to do that. But I believe we're getting very close to the end of time. I think about, you know, when Lot tried to warn his son-in-laws, his sons. You know, it said he was as one that had that word that. It was like... It was like he was a crazy man. It was like he was just real off. And they didn't believe him. But the Lord destroyed the city. You know, they were so comfortable in their surroundings, their environment, the atmosphere that they lived in. They were just used to that. That was home to them. And when he said the city was going to be destroyed, it was like, what are you talking about? We're prospering here. Everything's going well. We're doing... Oh, it said... I can't remember how that word, but it was like they didn't believe. They mocked.
As one that mocked.
What's that?
As one that mocked
unto his sons-in-law. As one that mocked. They thought he was goofy and strange. You know, I believe we're getting into those times. We recognize those times. And Protestantism has the things that they're accepting nowadays. It's not going to be accepted at heaven's gates. The Word of God is what we're going to stand before the Word. You know, in 1 John, we have another verse, 1 John. See here. You know, you go to a... It's like today everybody's going to heaven, regardless of how they lived, or... That's the atmosphere we live in. But he said in 1 John, the 4th chapter, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Now this confess is not just a verbal confession, because the Pope confesses to know God. Lots of people confess, but this confess means to show forth. And it's saying the same thing that Jesus said when he said, "You will know them by their fruit of their life." How do they live? What kind of conduct? Can you trust them in business? Are they upright? They do cut corners? They take things behind your back? And what kind of fruit is in their life? I believe that's what it's saying. But believe not every spirit. This is persuasions. A spirit is... I looked that up, and it's like a current. It's an influence that goes out. And he said, "Try the spirits to see whether of God." You know, there's a lot of things going out in the world today. But Lord, help us to not just believe every persuasion. He said in verse 4, he said, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Isn't that wonderful? This is the influence that we need to live in, is the influence of Christ, godliness and righteousness, holiness, what the Bible teaches. That's the influence that we want to subject ourselves, because if we get out from under that influence, from under the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, ruling our hearts and ruling our lives, we open ourselves up to other spirits. I've seen this happen many, many times. It's not just because someone gets up and they decide, "I'm not going to live for God anymore." People begin to make concessions in their life towards things that are unlike God, not godly. And when there is, then that opens the person up for another spirit to begin to lead them in their hearts and their lives. So Lord, help us today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need that heavenly influence to counteract the environment, the atmosphere that we're living in. If we don't have that, we automatically gravitate towards the gods of this world. The gods of this world, we automatically gravitate to them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's how we're going to be able to be kept today, is through the power of God. Lord, help us today to keep our affections, our things. And when pagan Rome was full of idolatry. Catholic Rome was full of idolatry. And sad to say, Protestantism today is full of idolatry also. And that's the very thing. That's one thing that the Lord doesn't countenance very well, is when we begin to give our affections to other things. Lord, help us today to be in that place, ready when the Lord comes back. Appreciate your attention tonight. Pray for me.